As they take the family out and while they're making the closure of the casket, I want us to bow in prayer, our heads bowed as we look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you today that we've had this time together. And I really feel like it's a little prelude to our being in heaven one day with those we love, with those who've gone on before, and with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and with our friend, our buddy, our preacher, Boy David. Lord, bless today in this special service. Lord, I would ask you also to meet spiritual needs, not only comfort to the family and friends, but there are undoubtedly folk here today that have the same spiritual need that David had when he was just a teenager, when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as their Savior, as his Savior. Lord, bless now in every part of the service today. And may the Lord Jesus Christ receive honor and glory and praise for that which is done. Bless those who sing and participate in the service. Give your hand and direction and guidance, Lord, in everything. And we'll praise you, for we ask it in that name that's above every name, our Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You may be seated. We welcome you to this service today. It is a gathering that has a measure of sadness, of course, but it is more significantly a gathering to celebrate a life well lived and a life devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate God and his goodness today. We celebrate the Lord and his salvation today. This is what Brother Van Horn lived for. This is what David focused his life on. And so it's appropriate that we understand it is salvation and eternal life that we celebrate today while we mourn the separation, albeit temporary, from our friend. Amen. And so on behalf of this family, let me say to all of you a sincere thanks for every expression of kindness, phone calls and texts and cards and flowers and food and just the known love that you have for them. They appreciate it. And if you've ever been on the receiving end of it, you know how much it means. I also want to say thanks on behalf of the Rich Fork Baptist Church family and the loss that you feel, we feel with you. And we understand that God does all things well, and he will lead you. He will lead you into the future according to his divine plan. But I can tell you from someone that knew him well, he loved you, every one of you from the Rich Fork Baptist Church family. He greatly cared for you. And we know this is a significant loss for you as well as this family. I would like us to sing together today to begin. And this is what Linda and I have talked about. And we're going to sing today. What a day that will be. 443. Grab a songbook nearby if you need that. And I remember Mr. Van Horn, David's dad, was the first song leader in our church. And every Sunday morning, our opening hymn was, "What a Day That Will Be." Amen. And Brother George, why did we call him George? That wasn't his name. But all of us teenagers, we called him George. His name was Ardeth, maybe because it was too hard to say Ardeth. But Brother George would lead us. What a happy day. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to really sing. All right? Get out of funeral mode for just a moment. Let's get in church mode for a moment. David would be appreciative of that. And we'll sing, What a day that will be. It will be a happy day.
Oh,
Thank you very much. You may be seated.
A little over 4 years ago, I stood at this pulpit and had my wife's funeral, preached the message. God gave me grace to do that, Paulie. And I hope he'll give me grace to make some comments today. But this is hard. But it's glorious too, isn't it? I hope if there's people here today that have spiritual needs, maybe you're not saved. I hope you'll catch something spiritually about in this service. That God's people, we're not perfect, are we? But we're forgiven. And thank God for that common bond. When Faith and I planted Maranatha Baptist Church, and our first service was held on Sunday, June the 22nd, 1969, before many of you discovered America. Only two people from our community attended that Sunday morning service. We met in a rented house, and Pauline saw a sign down at what then was probably Big Star or Food, something like that. And we're starting this new church. And all the efforts we made and the doors we knocked on, the leaflets we gave out, brought us two people from the community. I lived in St. Albans at the time we did. Half of that local congregation that we had that Sunday is here today, Pauline. The other half of that congregation rests in peace right here, his body, his soul's with the Lord. Amen. And then later, the next Sunday, Ardeth joined with us and became a part of our church. And thank God for that. Dave was only 13 years old, our first vacation Bible school. He was older than most of the kids that we were picking up on a bus. Oh, no, we didn't have a bus, but I borrowed one, and I drove a school bus for the county, so they let me drive the church bus. And David, I mean, he's 13. You can't get a 13-year-old to come with these little kids on the bus. But I had a brilliant idea. I said, David, I need a helper. I need someone to help these little kids off and on the bus. Would you be the doorkeeper for me for the bus? He came to Vacation Bible School. The greatest thing that happened wasn't the fact he was the doorkeeper. The greatest thing that happened was the Lord Jesus Christ knocked at his heart's door, and he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. I think after my wife was in a Bible lesson, then I had the privilege of talking to David, and he received Jesus Christ as Savior. As a teenager, David was called to preach. I love that. We've had several young men called to preach in the ministry here, and I thank God for that. You know, he never got away from the call of God for his life to be a preacher. I love that because it's scriptural. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. He never got away from that. And we'll hear from the obituary that follows. Someone reads how he went on to Tennessee Temple and got training. But I had the privilege of being David's boss for a while when we had Maranatha Christian School, and he taught in our Christian school, as well as Cross Lanes Christian School later. But I believe the greatest fulfillment, Pauline, of David's call of God on his life, and Linda, I believe the greatest fulfillment of that call was when he pastored the folk from Rich Fork Baptist Church for the last 31 years. And you read that in him as you were around him. He wasn't talking about how great somebody else's church was. He was talking about how great the people of Rich Fork Baptist Church were. And thank God for that, for his heart that was put into the ministry. David had me scheduled to preach at his annual King James Bible Conference. And since he was in the hospital, I suggested that he postpone that. Don't cancel it. I know you don't want to cancel it. You never give up. You know you don't want to cancel it, but consider postponing it. David said, No, sir. We're going to have the conference. Amen. And so I said, yes, sir, to the under-shepherd. And I'm excited to report to you today that according to the Word of God and David's personal testimony, he's with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Don't take my word for that. Listen to the Word of God. It was very important, of course, in David's life. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And then a favorite scripture verse of David's, and he was kind of like me. It depends on when you talk to him what his favorite was. Well, my wife called me on the carpet different times, and she would say, you realize you said you love that verse, that's one of your favorite verses? I said, love them all. Love every one of them. But this is one of David's favorite verses. In fact, he would often end his public prayer with the following verse from Psalm chapter 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. To which I say, shall we bow in prayer? Lord, I want to pray for Linda today and for Pauline, all this family. I want to pray for the Rich Fork family. I want to pray, Lord, for the Maranatha family. God, help us to keep on keeping on. Just be faithful to the Lord. Lord, give comfort and blessing and strength. Bless the pastor as he brings the message and music, every part of the service today. And I would say, with my preacher boy and my buddy and my friend, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, and for his sake, amen.
Each night, though I've had my share of hard times. change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. God's been good.
Amen. David P. Van Horn, 65, of Dunbar, West Virginia, went to be with the Lord on Sunday, May the 15th, 2022, at St. Mary's Medical Center in Huntington, West Virginia, after battling a long illness. He was born July 24th, 1956, in Puerto Rico to Ardith and Pauline Van Horn. He married Linda Jones on July 23rd, 1976. Graduated from Sissonville High School in 1974 and Tennessee Temple University in Chattanooga in 1979. He served as youth leader and assistant pastor during his lifetime, and he taught at Maranatha Christian School and most recently taught Bible and computer classes at Cross Lanes Christian School until his retirement. For the past 31 years, he served as pastor of the Rich Fork Baptist Church in Charleston. He loved being in the ministry and helping people. One of his greatest joys was going on soul-winning visitation every week with the men of the church. He enjoyed having a part in the music ministry and helping with Vacation Bible School. For many years, he helped with church camps and senior class trips. He enjoyed life. He always had a joke or teasing comment ready to share with the hope of making someone smile. He was an avid hunter and enjoyed being in the woods. Surviving is his wife, Linda, his mother, Pauline Van Horn of Sissonville, sisters, Sandra Broyles and Diane and Dick Fields, both of Charleston, brother-in-law, Rex Jones of Knoxville, Tennessee, and nieces and nephews of whom he always said he loved to spoil, Stephanie Sylvester Johnson, Blair and Patrick Hayes, Heather Walden, Ivy and Andrew Hodges, Shauna, Taryn, Dalton, Amanda, Jones, several great nieces and nephews. He is also survived by a host of friends who loved and respected him. He was preceded in death by his father-in-law, mother-in-law, Gary and Gladys Jones, grandparents, Bernard, Annie, and Bessie Van Horn, Cleburne and Flora Yerke, and several aunts and uncles. Folks, it's hard to read. I'll make just a few comments. Hard following two preachers. They'll steal your thunder every time. He did love a great joke, and he was always after me about driving Fords. So he'd always have one ready on Thursday night visitation, wouldn't he, brother? We had to gang up on him. And I recently got hold of a real humdinger, and I couldn't wait to tell him. And I tried to call him several times at the hospital and couldn't get him. He wasn't able to really talk any at that time. So I'll tell it to you today. And I'm sure we can rejoice in his humor. The other day, a fellow told me, he said, "I've learned how to double the value of a Chevrolet." I said, "Oh, really? Let me know. My pastor would love to hear that." He said, "You put a quarter tank of gas in it." Amen. And that's our pastor. He would come up with things all the time, and so we rejoiced that I was his friend and have known him for many years, since around 1986. So it's hard to say goodbye. It really is. We had several things in common. One was we were both saved. We both went to Tennessee Temple University. He went there before I did. I graduated before he did. We did really score big there. He got his wife from there, and I got mine from there. We both married above ourselves. And We've enjoyed our relationship for many years. His anniversary is 3 days after ours, and so for many years, Linda, I'd say probably since 86 to 88. David worked for me in 86 and 88, and we started going out for dinner on our anniversary night. And their birthdays were so close to that time that we just had a great time together. And, you know, we witnessed to people back then. We picked up a fellow who was a derelict and took him to get a meal and talked to him about the Lord. And I think he might have made a profession of faith at that time, but that was our pastor. And I enjoyed serving with him these 22 years I've been there. I served 18 years here with these two fellows on the platform up here and enjoyed that. But I learned some things about David. He was a faithful man. He was faithful. And he was always willing to help any way he could. And I appreciate that. In a ministry, there's a lot of helping you do. You have a lot of people who are hurting at many times, and he would deal with that. Also, I appreciate something else about his ministry. He had a great variety of messages. Now, that indicates to me you spend some time in the Word studying. We find ourselves many times preaching the same messages over and over, but he didn't. I'd mark them down to make sure. Amen. And pastors and preachers are that way. We try to steal something from somebody else and use it somewhere down the road. But for 31 years, he's been there, and the people of the church loved him. Amen. And you don't endear yourself to people unless they understand that you love them. And he did. He loved the people of our church. And several years ago, we started a little thing with the men on visitation night. On Thursday night, we still went knocking on doors even through COVID. We never stopped. We had folks saved. And we'll continue to do that. And he decided, he and Joe Doran, to go out and eat one night after knocking on doors. For some reason, they were the only two there. I can't remember. I think I was out of town or something, but we started that tradition. So after we ate, all of our men would get together and we'd go eat at a different restaurant every Thursday night. It got so bad that we had to put all the names in a jar and choose them with our eyes closed. Guys developed favorite places, and we all did. And through that time, when we'd go eat, we would compare the visits that we made and if we had someone saved. And needless to say, I guarantee you every restaurant worker between here and Huntington has been witnessed to by our church. And we've even had them give their heart to the Lord, standing at the table waiting on us. They spent a lot of time at our table waiting on us, and we grew close together because we got bigger. We got so that we couldn't get in a booth, and we had to have chairs around a table. So, amen. The Lord said that he would increase our border and enlarge our coast, and he surely has. I'm twice the man my wife married. And we're so thankful for that time and that ministry together. And I've seen him many times pray with one of those waiters over some matter that they have a burden over. And I never forget the young lady, you remember, they said, "What church are you from?" And we said, "Rich Fork Baptist." She stepped back aghast and she said, "Is there actually a church that only takes rich people?" She thought they said Rich Folk Baptist Church. And indeed, everyone in our church was rich in that we had the same pastor that was out there knocking on doors with us. Amen? And we have the same heritage. So we had great things planned and great things in the works, and we had people saved throughout this ministry, and we continue to do that. But there's several things I would say just in closing to think about, things that I will think about, and things that are to be found in a pastor. His convictions never changed. Amen. It's hard for a preacher not to preach it, Brother Rick, wherever you're at. Amen? His convictions never changed. He was always faithful. Amen. He didn't just tell us to go on visitation. He went with us. Amen? And he always had time to listen. And that takes a real talent to listen. It's something you have to learn to do. And then he was consistent. You know, most of us are consistent at being inconsistent. But he was consistent, same all the time. Amen? Miss Linda, same all the time. A great team, four great attributes of a pastor. And I'll miss him dearly. The people of our church, we've already felt the absence. And we will continue to pray for the family, and you pray for us as we attempt to work through this. And it's a difficult time. God bless you.
You heard David say, if you were around him at all, God is always good. God always does good things. And I've learned recently that, or was reminded recently, I think David told me about this, but it's faint memory, but I have been told about the chorus that David Bieber wrote that fits David's little catchphrase. And you folks from Rich Fork, you know this, don't you? We got it up on the screen, Brother Holtzclaw. It's there, okay? And so I want you folks from Rich Fork to sing it. It's a great chorus. And you're going to teach it to everybody. And then we're all going to sing it, okay? And David, you're ready to play it? All right, Rich Fork, help us now.
God is always good.
David. I want you all to try to sing it, will you? Together, let's try it. Here we go.
God is always good. He always does good things. He's the Lord of all, the mighty King of kings. If you call upon his name, he will cause your heart to sing. God is always good. He always
Thank you.
Well, this song is very short, so I asked Tim if I could say just a few words to make a point real quick. Between 1972 and probably 1975-ish, I had the privilege of spending so much time with David. We probably spent 3 out of 4 weekends with each other. We'd have a youth event and then go back to each other's home and spend the night. And I had, the privilege of talking with him about everything. We talked about sports. We both loved music. We just had a good time. We talked about what a lot of guys talk about back then, or have on your mind, girls, pretty girls, any girl. He talked about his 1 or 2 girlfriends that he had or had. I talked about my many girlfriends that didn't even know they were my girlfriends. But one of the most unbelievable things, if you could picture this, is when David was a junior, senior in high school, he wrestled. He went to the state final and got beat by a guy that eventually went far into the nationals. But he looked about 200 pounds. Was he 6'1", 6'2"? But he wrestled 155. I talked to him about that recently. Unbelievable athlete, fast, strong, and killed everybody until he got to those finals. Well, I weighed about 75 pounds. He was 2 years my senior. I was about this tall. He would practice. He would spar with me wrestling. He would try his moves on me. You remember that? And his dad would say, David, leave that boy alone. And I'd have tears in my eyes.
Thank you, Artis. Thank you. But about a year later, I only gained about 10 pounds, and can you believe that I would pin him about 9 out of 10 times? I didn't think you'd believe that. But I say that to make this point. The conversations we had that he led, he was a leader of our youth group, you could play those conversations if we recorded them Sunday morning. I mean, the guy was 16, 17, 18 years old. When he got saved and was called to preach, he was a righteous guy. And I've got some good news for you. I got a great challenge, a verse that just stuck with me years ago. The eyes of the Lord, this is for all of us. This is our challenge. And this is a
cool privilege to be in a small category. The eyes of the Lord are roaming the surface of the earth to find a righteous man, a righteous woman. Pauline, God's found David. He saw him years ago. Praise the Lord for David. I feel like he would want a song that goes straight to recognizing the Savior. I thought about doing a testimony song from the piano where I could hide over there because my voice is very iffy, and I thought that's just pride getting in the way. The Lord will hear this song, and David would want it to go straight to Christ because that's who he served. We're not here to praise David. He would smack us. He'd put us down in a hold for about 2 hours. He wants us to lift up the one that he has seen already, the Lord Savior.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? And is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slain. So is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? And does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered that grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slain. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priests to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of you?
Stand with me out of respect to the Father.
He is. Is he worthy? Is he worthy?
me, oh, he is.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, Almighty God, worthy of all praise. Praise the Lord for that. Since Sunday night, the things that have come in my head that I wanted and could say in this moment, if I shared them all with you, we'd be here a couple hours. I'm not going to do that. For almost my entire life, since childhood, I have looked up to David Van Horn. And though today I must bow my head and look down to see his body, I can still look up and see him through eyes of faith. And with the God-given grace of spiritual vision, I want to say I see him. I see my friend. I see him with his dad. I see him with Grandma and Grandpa Yerke. I see him with Linda's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Jones. I see him with my brother, Kemp. I see him with my mom. I see him with Sarah Brown Biber and Jimmy Cummings. Of course, most of all, I see him with the Lord Jesus. The great reunion in heaven is starting without us, but we're going to catch up. We'll see all of them in the heavenly glory with the Lord Jesus. But I see them. And prompting some in that sight, prompting some loving sarcasm from Sarah in that heavenly existence, David is looking even better than he did here on earth. Sorry, guys, we've got all that to look forward to for all eternity. David's even better looking than he was here. The Van Horn family, Ardeth, Pauline, Sandra, David, Diane, we're all charter members of Maranatha Baptist Church. As Dad noted, when they planted the church, this family was the very first to plant themselves from the community right into Maranatha Baptist Church. And we were so blessed and remain blessed today to have Pauline part of our church family. Amen. They were and remain active, faithful servants to the Lord through their church. Invested their lives in the Lord's work through their church. As a young teenager, David answered the call, the Lord's call, his life to preach. And I know the exact date when that surrender to the Lord took place. This is the Bible I carried as a young teenager. And we were all in the habit, because we were instructed to do so, to write things down in our Bible. And so I wrote things down for me, but I also wrote things down for people that I cared about. And so on the inside of one of the fly leaves, this Bible's falling completely apart. Remember the date. You can imagine this being in a 10 or 11 year old. Let's see, that would be that. Okay, now I would have been 12. 12 year old handwriting. Remember the date, March the 15th, 1973. David Van Horn. Good Christian, the word good underlined, comma, fine friend, made public being called to preach at Maranatha Baptist Church. There's some notations of others in here. For David, his family's dedication had become the central focus of his life. to serve the Lord through the Lord's church. By the time David was in high school and I was in junior high, David Van Horn and Steve Losh were the absolute coolest guys in the whole world. They played drums in the school band. When I asked my parents when I got in junior high, could I play drums in the school band? No chance. But I wanted to be like David. I wanted to be like Steve. I wanted to play the drums. I ended up with the baritone. Yeah, that's a synopsis of my life. These guys had their driver's licenses. Steve ran around in a little red VW Bug. David typically was driving his dad's gold Chevy Caprice, if I remember right. And they both drove like maniacs. Steve was a star athlete, a wrestler, as Donnie mentioned. And he liked to show the other guys his moves. He took a little more pity on me than he did on Donnie. And all the girls were infatuated with David, of course. And David was infatuated with the fact that all the girls were infatuated with him. Now, if you only know David as your pastor in his 40s or 50s, I'm sorry for these revelations, but I got witnesses. I'm not preaching at all. I'm telling the truth. In the early 70s, Robert and Joyce were our youth directors, and they started our church youth group, Active Christian Teens. Ours was a close-knit group and have remained a close-knit group. And we truly were an active group. We were active in fun things, and we were active in Christian service. And David was the leader. He was the pace setter. He was the anchor of our group. We all looked up to him. So after high school, David, following the Lord's leading in his life, goes off to Chattanooga, Tennessee, Tennessee Temple University. And there he gets to experience the great Highland Park Baptist Church and be under the ministry of Dr. Lee Robertson. Many more from our teen group would go to Temple and other Bible colleges. While at Temple, David meets, falls in love, and marries a godly young lady, Linda Jones, from Iowa. When David brought Linda home to West Virginia, everyone fell in love with her. Some of the girls were probably pretty ticked, but anyway, there was a general welcoming. My dad was so impressed and thankful for Linda. He later gave me this advice just before I left for TTU. This is a true story. He said, "You'll meet a lot of girls at Temple. There'll be many to choose from as the Lord provides for your wife. You need to find an outstanding young lady like David found." He said, "Go to Chattanooga and find yourself a Linda Jones." It took a while, but ultimately, I met, fell in love, and married Linda Jones from Virginia. I just couldn't do the Big Ten thing. After serving as an assistant pastor in Iowa, David and Linda relocated back here to West Virginia. As Dad mentioned, he taught in our Christian school and then ultimately becoming the pastor in the next hollow over. I love telling people that. Our first preacher boy pastor is in the next hollow over, so if you miss our exit, just get off the next one. You'll find a good church there. But him being back and he and Linda being back in West Virginia was such a blessing to me because Donnie and Steve and Mike at that time and others, I'll leave out names, but Tammy, of course, in Australia and some state in Chattanooga. But one of our group was back home. And so I had the blessed privilege of just spending a lot of time with David. And for these many, many years, he's been my buddy to share things with. Our friendship, anchored in our youth, but was recently exercised in hunting. And a lot of talking about pastoring and preaching and Bible study discussions. And as much has been said, he's a man of the word, a man of the book. And he loved preaching, he loved studying the Bible. We like to talk about it, discuss it. He liked to ask hard questions. And I don't know if he thought I knew the answer. He just wanted to embarrass me, make me realize I didn't know the answer. I'm not sure. He liked to ask hard spiritual questions. And we spent a lot of days, frankly, reliving the memories of our time together in our younger days as friends do. Dave taught me how to hunt. My dad never was much of a hunter. And when Dave came back, he wanted to get me into hunting. Well, I wasn't too interested in it at first, especially with archery hunting. Because I knew a lot of guys that went hunting with a gun that didn't kill a deer. So the idea that somehow you could do better with a bow and arrow, But Rex, I think you'd got him hooked on that while he lived in Iowa. And he got me hooked on it. And I was the other way around. Okay. Well, he got me hooked on it. And we spent a lot of times. In fact, I just thinking about this the other day, I think I told the church family, of the hours and hours and hours that I have spent in the woods over my lifetime, the last 30 years or so. It's been less than 5% that I've been in the woods without David in the next tree or across the field. He looked out for me when I was getting started. He didn't want me to hurt myself. And then as we got older, we started looking out for each other because we were both a little scared of falling out of a tree or having some problem. Old fat guys traipsing through the woods. We used to move through the woods very quietly. Those days are well gone. In fact, we ride to the tree in the side-by-side. That's really stalking them, you know. I got to watch David live a passionate life for the Lord. Amen. A passionate life for the Lord. That's the challenge that David leaves for us today. The Lord has passion for us. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God has great love for us, and so that begs the question back to us, do we love him passionately? And I'm so glad that my friend had a testimony of living passionately in love for the Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? Do you love me? That's what he's looking for from us. And David's testimony, not a perfect man, but his general testimony was that he faithfully loved the Lord, a life of passionate devotion. He had learned the lesson from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Consider for a moment the benefits of a passionate devotion to God. A passionate relationship. Well, if you have that, a passionate relationship leads to confidence in God. A passionate relationship with the Lord leads to a confidence that is spiritual. David was never the kind of guy that lived in a lot of self-doubt. And as a younger man, it could be a little bit annoying. But as he matured in life and matured in the Lord, if you saw him as being a little arrogant or conceited, I want to tell you that was an act. That was an act. He was a humble fellow who had great confidence in the Lord. Proverbs 14:26, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The psalmist gave us in 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I asked Linda about David's life verse, and so we weren't the only ones that could say. He had a lot of different verses, depending on when you ask him. I know this one meant a lot to him, 2 Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. He had a holy confidence because of his divine passion for the Lord. Passionate relationship leads us to have boldness about him. Boldness. Isaiah 25:1, O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things, thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. When you have a passionate relationship for the Lord, there's a boldness that comes not from the human side, but from the Holy Spirit within us. And David certainly had a passionate boldness for the Lord Jesus Christ that flowed from his passionate devotion to him. Another man that influenced my life, and it's a way too long story to tell, is Dr. Charles Waggle, the author of the song, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus," and hundreds of other gospel songs. Waggle said in a recorded message that I heard years ago, "I'm dead in love with Jesus. And if you get to heaven before I do, you can tell him so." That sounds to me a little like David. He was in love with the Lord Jesus, and he had a boldness for the Lord. He understood what Paul understood in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." A passionate relationship to God brings to us a confidence in him, a boldness in him, and it brings to us a comfort in him, and we certainly need that today, do we not? A comfort that we have in God flows from a passionate relationship, flows out of our love to God. All of us that were exposed to Dr. Robertson at Tennessee Temple University know the biblical principle I'm talking about. We find it in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. Knowing that God is working all things for his glory and our good as we just render our love for him, the comfort that we find in that. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Most of you are well aware that in recent years, David had layers of health issues. He had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, for which he underwent many series of treatments in the last several years. He developed a rare disease, if I can pronounce it right, Langerhans, very rare disease. And of course, the treatments for cancer knock your immune system down so significantly, and so then COVID came David's way. He'd been a sick individual for a number of years. And I spent time with him privately as we would ride back and forth to hunting trips. Brother John, countless trips up to your property. And he never, never got in any kind of complaint mode or whine mode. I'd ask him about some things just for specifics to understand. And so the door would certainly be open for him to be negative and complain, but he never did that. He just said, "God's good. God's always good. God always does good things." Amen. He found comfort in the Lord because of his passionate relationship with God. And lastly, the passionate relationship with God leads us to joy. To joy because of him. Habakkuk 3:18. Yet, a lot of things bad happened to Habakkuk. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." I saw Dave in the hospital a few weeks ago. And it was so out of character for him. He had maybe a day or an afternoon when it all kind of backed up on him a little bit. It wasn't anything bad or ugly or, I mean, most people would be looking, how can I jump out that window right there? Wasn't that. But I could tell he was discouraged. And I'd never seen my friend discouraged, ever. So I prayed with him, of course, and the next time we chatted, he was back just trusting the Lord and just the joy of the Lord on him. I'm sure he and Linda have gone through some difficult times when maybe the joy wasn't at the surface as it often was, and most and every time except for that one time with me. But the joy of the Lord is our strength, and even when the circum and surface happenings of life pull us down and bring to us pain and sorrow and sadness, the joy of the Lord is our strength. As the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. His passion for the Lord caused him to be, listen to this description that my friend, David's friend, Byron Fox, said to me just a couple days ago. He said, Brother David was an exceptional Christian. That statement, that description, I think fits him beautifully. An exceptional Christian. It's because of his love for the Lord. Because of his love for the Lord, that caused him to be a wonderful, loving husband. Linda shared with me that some of the many doctors that they spoke with and David's many issues commented about them being a good team. We all saw that, of course. And it was evident even to those who just had the briefest relationship with them. It's because of his passion for the Lord that made him a good husband. His passion for the Lord caused him to be a caring and faithful pastor. Amen. The people of Rich Fork, you were always on your pastor's heart. He spoke lovingly of you often. His passion for the Lord caused him to be a great friend. A great friend. We know he's always willing, as Brother Greg noted, to help, to bless, to give, to comfort, to listen. Yeah, Dave was a good listener. Good listener. His passion for the Lord caused him to bring eternal glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a faithful Christian. And that's exactly what God is looking for from all of us. In conclusion, David would certainly want me to share one more thought with you, as would the family. The message David would certainly have me share with you today, as we conclude this service, is the message of the gospel. Amen. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the message that every human being needs to hear, understand, and respond to. And we all have to respond the same way because we all start in the same position. We all start in the same problem, and it's this: everyone's a sinner. Yeah. The Bible is crystal clear on this point. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Everyone is a sinner. In fact, it's because of our sinful condition that Jesus came to earth. That's why he came. He came to earth because we were sinners. The Bible says that God commendeth his love. He put his love on display. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And because Christ did that, came to earth and died for us, rose again on the third day, because he did that, God then offers you eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The wages of sin is death. We all understand what a wage is. It's getting what we deserve, getting what we've earned, getting what we're entitled to. And if anyone in humanity gets what they're entitled to, what they deserve, it's death. And the Bible's not talking about just physical death there. It's also talking about spiritual death, eternally separated from God in a place designed for the punishment of sin, a fiery, horrible place called hell. The wages of sin is death. But here's the beautiful contrast: the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, a gift is different than a wage. A gift is not what I've earned, it's not what I deserve, it's not what I'm entitled to. A gift is what someone offers me because they decided to love me. And God decided to love you. He decided to love me. He decided to love us. And in that love, he offers us the gift of eternal life. And the way that a gift becomes mine, the way that a gift becomes yours, is that it must be received. And so we receive the gift of eternal life, and the verse is very clear, through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is the receiving of Jesus Christ that brings us the reception of eternal life and the forgiveness of our sin. And that's the only way that our sin can ever be forgiven. Jesus made it abundantly clear that the only way anyone was ever going to have a right relationship with Holy God was through himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. It's the lie from Satan that says, well, sincerity is the key and all roads lead to heaven. You just find your way to God and he'll find a way to you. It's beautiful. Sounds like it ought to be in a Hallmark card, but I want to tell you, its author is Satan. It's a lie. It's a deception. It's a bait and switch. It's a con game. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, the Son of God says. You see, it's all about what you do with Jesus. Your eternity, your existence beyond your coffin is about what you do with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Jesus is the only way. Today's the day to get saved. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, in other words, if there's never been a moment in your life when you have acknowledged that you're a sinner to God, acknowledged you needed to be saved, ask him to come into your life, and as best you could, just place your faith in him. If you've never done that in a single decision, then you don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior. You may know of him as the grand healer. You may know of him as the wonderful teacher, but you don't know him as Savior until you call on his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The good news is you can do that today. You can do it right now. Not because we're in the walls of the church, but because this is the moment you have to respond. You can't do it yesterday. That's gone. You have no assurance of tomorrow. It may never get here. But you have right now. You have this moment. If you're watching on the live stream, you have right now. You don't need to be in church to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those verses simply mean that if you'll believe God when he says he'll save you, then when you do ask him, he does. And you can do that today. Right here in this room, you can do it right where you are. And that would be a tremendous honor to our friend who gave his life toward the preaching of the gospel. The good news of salvation. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me here in the room? And I invite you watching by way of the live stream, just bow your own head and begin to talk to the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, just begin to talk to the Lord from a sincere heart and say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again. I cannot save myself, Lord. I'm asking you to save me. And as best I know how, I'm just trusting you with my life, with my heart, with my soul, with my eternity. Lord, please save me. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and take me to heaven when I die. I'm trusting you right now, Lord Jesus. If you did that here in the room, if you did that while watching by way of the live stream, may I ask you to do this? Pray a prayer right now and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. And then I want you to do one other thing. I want you to tell someone that you believe is a good Christian. Tell someone what you've done. Do it right away. Do it today. Do it this afternoon. Tell someone what you did that's a believer, that's a Christian, that can help you. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for the testimony of our friend, family member, our pastor. Lord, the relationships here extend to this room full of people and well, well beyond. We thank you for the life and testimony of Brother Van Horn. And Lord, we pray that you would comfort us in the truth, the reality that is your word, that absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. And so we thank you for the promise of eternal life through you, through Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would continue to comfort and bless this family. May they sense your loving arms around them as never before. We pray that you would bless the Rich Fork Baptist Church family. Comfort them, and may they sense your grace and mercy in the days ahead. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do for us and through us, Lord, until we meet you face to face and are reunited with our loved ones who are there waiting for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.